Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Lean not on our own understanding. We're still in 2 Samuel chapter 19. The rebellion has ended with the death of Absalom. He was stuck in a tree branch, and there Joab and his men killed him. The battle was over. David learned his son was dead, even though he ordered that his son be dealt gently with. Joab disobeyed and saw too the death of Absalom. David grieved greatly. In our last study, we saw that Joab rebuked him severely. David responded. He went to the people. But then Amasa was put in his place. Very disrespectful. The words he spoke had a lot of truth to them. But as we saw, it was handled so poorly. David is now in the position of restoring unity and peace in the nation. There was great turmoil as the nation was transferred from the house of Saul to the house of David. Now there is turmoil because of the rebellion of Absalom. And you have to stop and think what David is doing here. It's not just a matter of running a nation. He's now having to deal with the death of 20,000 soldiers in the battle. He's having to deal with people with other issues. And he's having to deal with the very stark reality. Much of it's his fault because of what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. It's going to take some time for this rebellion and all of the scars therein to heal over. One of the things that has been a recurring theme in the last few chapters is the incredible, sad truth of human interaction with each other. And this is really what we're going to see tonight as we consider lean not on our own understanding. The truth is, many times in life, we will not understand. We're limited, simply because we're human, but we're limited in the idea that there is so many variables in life. And then, when somebody tells you something is a truth, and so it is, many times we don't know. The truth is, we can anchor on the Word of God. And He knows. So we anchor our thinking and then hence our behavior on the Word of God, and we can find peace in the midst of the storm and in the midst of not understanding many times. The truth is, the Bible has given us what we need. If we needed more, it would have given us more. Because there are times you read the Bible, case in point, these Old Testament stories, and it doesn't tell us certain things. Okay, accept that. We didn't need to know it. But God has given us what we need to know. Hence, we have the great admonition from Solomon, David's son, David's successor, David's child that is growing up and watching all of this nonsense in Israel. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. We could camp out on that verse for a long time because it's easy to read. It's a lifetime to develop. It's easy when things are good in life. Wait till it's gone against how we would hoped it would have gone. And then we have to stop leaning on our own understanding because many times we don't know. We're going to consider in tonight's message three men, Shimei, Ziba, and Mephibosheth. We have already gone through chapter 19 and we saw a big picture of David and his varied responsibilities as the king. We have considered Joab. We have considered Amasa. Tonight, we've grouped together Shimei, Ziba, and Mephibosheth in our study. Each one of these men has a situation that cannot really, truly be discerned. We can gather some truths, but I think the greatest truth therein is we don't understand it all. Accept it, because it's the reality of life. Lean not on our own understanding. Shimei, Mephibosheth, and Ziba have a linked story in this passage. And we will see it as it unfolds. These men each have a situation relating to David. 2 Samuel 16:5, we see Shimei is of the house of Saul. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. So we know that this man now is of the house of King Saul. King Saul, the first king in the nation of Israel. They didn't want judges anymore. We want a king. God gave them King Saul. He was a dismal spiritual failure. And he was succeeded by David, the shepherd boy, chased around the countryside for approximately 13 or so years as the king tried to kill him. David was anointed long ago, chapter 16 in 1 Samuel, to be the next king. But it was going to be years until Saul would finally die and he would ascend to the throne. Shimei is a very unusual character here because what's happening is, as he is looking at all the turmoil in Israel, being from the house of Saul, he has the attitude, he has the complete mindset. The reason why David is suffering is because of what he did to the house of Saul in taking the throne. Chapter 16, verse 8. The Lord hath returned upon thee, David, all the blood of the house of Saul. Now get the picture. Here is David. He's ascended to the throne. He's committed his great sins with Bathsheba and Uriah. And Absalom has now sprung the rebellion, and David is fleeing from Jerusalem toward the Jordan River to cross to Mahanaim. As he is going, he is meeting a series of people, which we've already studied. One of them is Shimei, and here is this guy, as David is fleeing, he is cursing him and accusing him, it's because what you did to the house of Saul. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of King Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in mischief because thou art a bloody man. But what do we know is the truth of the whole matter? Why was David suffering? Because of Bathsheba and Uriah, and Nathan told him, the sword will never leave your house. It was God ordained that David was going to take the place of King Saul. Try to tell that to Shimei. And yet he is so convinced that he is cursing, throwing rocks and dust at David and his people. And the truth is, you got to think how bold this is. David could have immediately, hey, Cherethites, get rid of this guy. Abishai volunteered, let me take him out. And David said no. How many times in life, though, do you deal with somebody? They are so convinced. Now, David was not going to step up and go, no, 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 you're all wrong. It's because of my adultery and murder. But Shimei is just convinced, I know. No, you don't know. And did you ever have things in life? It's just not proper to try to set the record straight. Probably no matter how much you talked, you'd probably just dig a deeper hole. And you let it go. Here's where David is. But I'm not about to sit here and rehash all that I did. If you want to think it's because of the house of Saul, that's fine. Let it go. Chapter 16, verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And I am here to throw salt in the wound, and I hope you suffer miserably for what you did to the house of Saul. And God's saying, you don't get it. And David's saying, you don't get it. By the way, David is suffering so much, Shimei is just an annoyance. Thou art a bloody man. And yet what's interesting, as we have looked back, obviously, we're in chapter 19, we're looking back into chapter 16. As David is leaving Jerusalem, in chapter 19, the battle is over, and now he's coming back, and he meets Shimei again. So he meets him as he leaves Jerusalem, he meets him on his way back. Shimei was so convinced that David was wrong, it took a failed rebellion to get him to say, maybe God isn't delivering this into the hand of Absalom. Look at verse 8, chapter 16. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. The Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. Chapter 16 and chapter 19, he'll realize, whoops, maybe I spoke a little hastily here. David did not defend himself in chapter 16. In chapter 19, we're going to see Shimei humbling himself. David did not want to rule the kingdom with force. Is this not the best way to lead? Is not to lead by force, but to lead by earning people's respect, kindness? David willfully turned the other cheek to Shimei. And we're going to see here now the change of heart. Whether he understood David was to rightfully follow Saul by God's ordination or not, we don't know. Now we know he followed, but we do not know if he had the spiritual mindset to say, God did this. Whether he ever understood David was suffering because of his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, we don't know. We're not told. We can only assume. But isn't that what Shimei did? He assumed and it got him in all sorts of trouble. We don't know, but we do know this. In chapter 19, after the death of Absalom, chapter 19, verse 19, and Shimei said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come out the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. What more do you want from somebody? The man's broken. Is this the time to start screaming at him? What more do you want? What would that prove? Don't soft answers turn away wrath? Aren't we supposed to find Christianity and forgiveness and kindness and help and encouragement? This is where David is. David has now earned a faithful follower. He could have made him follow by an iron rod, but he chose rather give it time. You know, we could look at this then and say, well, I wonder if Shimei is really sincere, or is he scared for his life? And he knows he's got to dwell somewhere around Israel. I don't know how far he would ever want to run. And David would probably send messengers out to kill him. Is that why he did it? We don't know. I don't think so. Again, we could sit here and try to surmise, is this honorable? Are you only doing this because you saw David forgive Amasa and you're willing to throw yourself at the mercy of the court, but your heart is far from him? We don't know. But what do you do? We have got to do the best we can in the flesh, trust that God guides and directs and gives us wisdom. Because we could play many mind games here. Well, you did this for this, or you did this, and you really don't mean it. What more could he do? Take it at face value. You see, God knows the true motives of a person. We don't. Shimei being forgiven is a very good thing. 2 Samuel 19:17, and there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. And Ziba the servant, note that, we'll get there in a little bit. And Ziba the servant of the house of Saul and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, they went over Jordan before the king. David went on in verse 23 to say, you're forgiven. It's over. I forgive you, I accept what you have said. David has turned the other cheek again, accepted the apology, and it has caused him to gain 1,000 followers. Because he was kind. Because he was merciful. Because he refused to be bitter. His job is to be winning people back to the kingdom and restore peace. He took him at face value. And yet, there are some people that have no time for grace and mercy. How about dear old Abishai, one of David's other nephews, brother of Joab? 2 Samuel 19:21, he sees Shimei come, he hears what's said, and he says, but Abishai the son of Zeruiah answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Wait a minute, Abishai. Just wait a minute. Didn't I give you grace and mercy when you murdered Abner? 2 Samuel 3:30, so Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner. As a matter of fact, the Abner that they murdered was the captain of King Saul's host, and he was just struck a deal with him that Abner was going to start to restore the kingdom, bringing the house of Saul over to him. Joab didn't like that, Abishai didn't like that, so let's kill the guy. Here it is, how easy it is to overlook our own sins and yet find the speck in another person's eye. You've heard the expression speck inspectors? Some people are good at that. David was good at turning the other cheek, offering mercy, and therefore earning the respect of people. Will people disappoint? Of course. But that doesn't mean we stop doing what's right. So it is, Shimei of the house of Saul sinned greatly in chapter 16, spared, extended grace and mercy to him, and it worked. And in chapter 19, he came back, I'm sorry. And David not only gained him, he gained 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. Do right, folks, and it might take time. Do right, and watch God bless. Well, we saw in that simple passage Ziba. Let's now move on to Ziba and see what we have here. We must again go back in our story and get a running start on what's going on with this Ziba, what's going on with Mephibosheth. King Saul had a grandson. In the battle, in chapter 31 of 1 Samuel, King Saul dies. And then into 2 Samuel, word gets to the family Can I use the expression here? Grandpa's dead because Mephibosheth is the grandson. Well, obviously now they're expecting the worst, and so what it is, they're going to flee. The nurse picks up this young boy, Mephibosheth, stumbles, somehow falls, and he is crippled the rest of his life in his feet. Jonathan is dead, Saul is dead, the civil war comes, David finally gets up into, ascends to the throne, and while he's got some peace there, and he says, you know what, I'd like to bless somebody from the house of Saul. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1, and David said, is there any that's left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Well, Ziba was called and said, Ziba, I understand you know somebody. Says, yes, Mephibosheth is out there. And so David sends for Mephibosheth to come because he wants to bless him. Now, can you imagine what's going through Mephibosheth's mind when the new king comes to the throne and I'm a potential heir to the old king? He probably thought it was over, but he came and rather was greatly blessed. He comes, and David extends incredible grace and says, in essence, fear not, I'm not going to hurt you. I want you to eat at my table the rest of your life, and I'm going to assign Ziba and his sons to be your servants to till your fields and provide for you the rest of your days. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9. Then the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore, Ziba, you and your sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Little side note. I find it very interesting that a servant has servants. God has a funny way of blessing people. But all I am is a servant. Watch what God can do. I can give you servants. Okay. So this gives us the running start that now Mephibosheth is being provided for at the king's table and also by Ziba and his sons as servants to him. So, chapter 16. David is fleeing from Jerusalem, and he's encountering people along the way. We saw that he encountered Shimei as he was leaving Jerusalem, heading towards Jordan. He also ran into Ziba. So here is David fleeing from Absalom, heading towards the Jordan, and he encounters Ziba. And the king David says to him, 2 Samuel 16:3, and the king David said, where is thy master's son Ziba? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abides at Jerusalem, which is the place David just left, because Absalom was rising a rebellion there. For he, Mephibosheth, said, today shall the house of Israel restore me to the kingdom of my father. Now this is what Shimei said when he was casting stones. It's because you're bloody to the house of Saul. And now Mephibosheth is saying, the throne is going back to the house of Saul. Today shall the house of Israel restore me, the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertained unto Mephibosheth. Everything he had, it's yours. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. Okay, with that review, let's take a look now at what's going on. Apparently, Ziba defected from being loyal and faithful to King David, and he has joined the rebellion of Absalom. Otherwise, why would he be returning with Shimei, who certainly was cursing David and throwing stones? And he was with Shimei to come back with the apology. I have a feeling he wanted to bury himself in the middle of the crowd, kind of, you know, keep a low profile, I'll kind of sneak back in. You see, there was strife here between Mephibosheth and Ziba. Oh, I mean, I couldn't put up with him. And he goes to David, but eventually he goes to Absalom. What's this guy doing? He's in the crowd, but I don't see any record that Ziba had the humility when he met David on the return journey that Shimei had. What, did you speak for the whole group? We're all sorry? That I defected? Why are you over there? And what's going on? We have to wonder, again, was Ziba sincere as he's meeting David on the way back? Or is he only concerned about the wrath of the king? The truth is, we really don't know. Again, we don't know. Well, now let's flip this over. What's Mephibosheth doing? Mephibosheth now is a grown man, old enough to say, the kingdom's coming to me, crippled in his feet, and David is coming back. David has met Shimei, David has met Ziba, David's now going to meet Mephibosheth. Chapter 19, verse 24, Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. So both Ziba and Mephibosheth have made a point to somehow get to David on his return journey. We see that in chapter 19:17 and chapter 19:24. Ziba came and Mephibosheth came. These men both welcome David back, and yet they're not getting along with each other. What a tangled web people weave. King, we're so glad to see you. Even though I was with Shimei, who was throwing rocks at you, but still, you know, kind of a joke, you'd get over it. And Ziba, I thought you were with me because you came to me, you gave me the gift as I was leaving, but now you're coming back with Shimei, who was throwing rocks at me. What are you doing? And why aren't you taking care of Mephibosheth? You see, they come and welcome King David, who is carrying the burden of trying to restore a nation. And yet they have their petty grievances. David is greeted by Mephibosheth. Now granted, he has not cleaned himself up in verse 24, but look at verse 25. It came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? Why didn't you go with me? Well, what did Ziba say when David was leaving? Well, he said the throne's coming back to him. So now David says to him on the return journey, why didn't you come with me? Verse 26. Here is Mephibosheth's answer. My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. It's that Ziba. Really? This now starts to beg the question, who's telling the truth? Did Mephibosheth really say, the throne's coming back to me? We don't know. It's not recorded, thus saith the Lord. We have the words of Ziba, who personally I don't think is real reliable. My servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, I will ride thereon and go to the king because thy servant is lame. And he has slandered thy servant unto the Lord the king. Is that true? Was it a lie? But my Lord the king is an angel of God. Beware of flattery. Do therefore what is good in thy eyes, for all of my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the king. Yet didst thou set the servant among them that they did eat at thine own table. What right have I to cry yet any more unto the king? Now, here is my problem with Mephibosheth. He has not cleaned himself up since the day David left. And we don't know exactly how long David was gone, but we do know he hasn't cleaned himself up now for some time. He's crippled in his feet, but he can apply himself to get all the way to the king without Ziba's help. I just can't clean myself without Ziba. He just deceived me and he was awful to me. I personally think he milked his physical condition to the point Ziba had it up to here. Can I prove that? No. But I know this, something's wrong. Again, in this life, we do not have what we need to judge people's motives. Certainly, we do have to make some decisions. This is also proper and true, but we must be very, very careful in making decisions. He is so helpless, he cannot apply himself to go to David, but he can come to David when David comes back. I have to wonder if he intentionally let himself go physically in appearance to add to the poor me syndrome. But wherein is truth? Did he really say, I'm going to get the throne back? We don't know. Consider 2 Samuel 9, verse 10. Thou therefore and thy son Ziba, thy servants, what are they supposed to do for Mephibosheth? Till the land for him, that thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. It never said anything about for his personal care. Comb your own hair. Okay, I understand you can't walk, but you can apply yourself to take a bath. But he's not doing that. That's why I put some guilt here on Mephibosheth and certainly also on Ziba. I think they both have guilt. Ziba was rebuked in 2 Samuel 16:3, and the king said, where is thy master's son? Well, I had to leave him because we had a spat over him trying to say that he's going to get the... And now, he's coming back, and he is confronting both Ziba and Mephibosheth. You know what? David's got so many better things to do, and this is really where I believe the crux of this matter comes. What really is the truth? David's saying, Mephibosheth, I provided for you to eat at my table. Mephibosheth, I have provided for you Ziba and his servants and sons to help you. Ziba, you have been blessed because you're able to serve taking care of one guy, Mephibosheth. How bad is your life? If you had a strain, can't you guys work it out? The truth is only God really knows, but I want you to see this. Here is David coming back from a civil war. 20,000 have died. And Ziba and Mephibosheth are complaining about their situation. Half-truths, you have to wonder wherein the truth lies. The truth is there's a much bigger picture. Is this not, though, how God looks at us Christians when we are so focused on things that just don't matter in the grand scheme of life? This world's going to burn up. We're eventually going to give our last breath and we're going to leave and enter eternity. Souls are dying and going to hell and we're worried about what? Oh, that people would get their eyes focused on God. Look at David's response, chapter 19, verse 29. And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I don't want to hear this. This is ridiculous that I have got two, if I can use the expression, Christian brothers here in the kingdom, and you guys can't get along. I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. Divide it. Go your own ways. This is ridiculous. It is true that many commentaries hold Mephibosheth to be innocent and put full blame on Ziba. I don't. I lay a lot of guilt at Mephibosheth's door and Ziba's also. The real picture here is we do not understand the real issues. The good old, no, he said, no, he said, no, no, he said that, no, he did, he said, shh. Souls are dying and going to hell. Let's get our eyes on what really matters. The truth is, many times we will not fully understand the events of life. We really do not understand the true intents of Shimei, Ziba, and Mephibosheth. God does. But we must always go back then to what do we know. We do know that we can trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not to our own understanding. And there are surely going to be enough times in this life that we will not understand, and God says, fine, don't lean on that. Lean on me, the anchor of my word. Do right and give me time, because there's coming a day all things will be made right.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.